the feeling of being unable to do anything for yourself, the inability to move around freely, the difficulty in simply carrying something from A to B, and the total reliance on other people to help you. Being unable to do the little things that we take for granted every day. So yeah, I feel quite deeply for the man in this passage. You might have noticed actually, there's a verse in the passage that was actually missing in what Izzy read. It's verse 4. And it talks about an angel coming down to stir the waters. And the legend was that whoever was first into the waters after the pool was stirred would get healed of any ailments they had. It's actually omitted from many manuscripts, so it's kind of, we're not quite sure if it's legit or not. But either way, you can kind of feel for him. This guy who's just waiting by the pool every day, waiting for the waters to be stirred, seeing the moment happen and just making his way slowly and difficultly to the side of the pool. He's just about to get in and someone slips in ahead of him. And with that in mind, I can sort of understand his response when Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" Some commentaries on this passage that I read describe the man as the least willing and least grateful recipient of Jesus' healing power, even describing his response to Jesus as sarcastic. And maybe there is some truth in that. But when I read his response, the thing that jumps out to me is his lack of hope. You can almost kind of feel him saying, like, "Yeah, Jesus, of course I want to be healed, but it's never going to happen." And I understand that because when I was in that place with my ankle, I too struggled with that same hopelessness, with thoughts of, "I'm never going to walk again. My surgery's going to go wrong. I'm never going to get back to climbing and hill walking and doing those things that I love to do." When you're in the midst of suffering, it can be the hardest thing to try and see past it. On the flip side, when we are going through suffering, I think it can be so easy to put our hope in something other than Jesus. In the case of the man in this story, it's the healing properties of the water. If only I can get myself into the water, then I'll be healed. And like I say, it is disputed whether or not those waters did have healing properties. But it's very clear to me from the passage that the man was healed by Jesus and Jesus alone. But I understand and have experienced myself that desire to put your hope in something tangible, something that's there, something that you have control over. As long as I do my physio exercises properly, then I'll walk normally again. As long as I do everything the doctors tell me, then my bones will heal properly. And those are good things to do, and I have great faith that God works powerfully through doctors and physios and nurses. But that doesn't make them Jesus. And our hope in those things, I think, can easily misplace our hope in God. For the man at the pool, you can see how hopeless he is in the way he replies to Jesus. But Jesus promises to meet us in our hopelessness. I think we all find Jesus' question to the man amusing. you can imagine the man's probably a bit annoyed at Jesus' question. When I was in hospital, just about to have surgery, the doctors would continuously ask me, oh, which leg is it that is the bad one? It's the one with the massive cast on it, obviously. But and reflecting back on my journey through the last few months, I can see I would have reacted similarly to the man if Jesus would have asked me if I wanted to be healed. Surely isn't it obvious? I think that we get so caught up in with thinking that God is so knows us so intimately and deeply that he knows exactly what we need and we don't need to tell him. But God doesn't force his way into our hearts no more than he forced healing on the paralyzed man. Jesus already knew what the paralyzed man wanted and needed, but he still wanted the man to articulate that to him. Our God is a good father, and he wants us to be honest with him. He wants to know us more deeply. And I've had to learn over the past few months what that looks like. And honestly, sometimes when you're angry about something, like I was angry about my ankle, how could you let this happen to me? And, you know, I felt like he knew what I needed, what I wanted. I thought that he knew that he wanted my ankle to be completely healed. But I've had to learn that he just wants to hear our voice. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to have that communication with him and for us to be honest with him. And the danger with continuing in hopelessness and having a misplaced hope in other things is that if left unchecked, I think it can lead to unbelief. Unbelief that God is able or willing to help us in our struggles. Unbelief that he is good, and unbelief perhaps that he is even there. The meaning of Bethesda is house of grace or house of mercy. You can imagine how the man in the pool feels about that name. Sure, house of grace, if you say so. And I think that unbelief is what Jesus is referring to when he meets the man in the temple. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. I don't think Jesus is preaching a prosperity gospel here. He's not saying you've done bad things, therefore bad things have happened to you. I think what he's saying is just believe in me. Root out your unbelief. You might feel I've been a bit negative so far, and I'm sorry for that. But there is good news. Because despite this man's hopelessness, Jesus still chooses to heal him. And he is powerful enough to penetrate our hopelessness and unbelief. I've recently had my own experience of that. In my last physio appointment, my physio said to me that I shouldn't be making the progress and getting the movement back that I'm getting. All the science and the research says that I should be hobbling around still with a very noticeable limp, but I'm not. And I want to caveat that by saying that I've been rubbish at doing the exercises he's prescribed me. Even in my inactivity and my inability, God has chosen to work powerfully in my ankle and heal it. He is able to do immeasurably more than I've got here we could ever ask or imagine, but even sometimes when we don't ask. and even when we least deserve it. In Romans 15, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." And that's my prayer for all of us, that whatever we're going through, we would have an unshakable hope that God is able to see us through it, whatever it might be. I do realize that I've been talking about a sensitive subject, that of healing. I know that many of you will have experienced healing, but I know there are those of you who are still waiting for healing to happen. I myself prayed for miraculous healing of my ankle. Izzy prayed. Our soul group prayed. Each time I went to the hospital for another appointment, I cried out to God saying, you know, please let this be the time where they x-ray and they find, oh, it's completely healed. There's no more brokenness. Each time I went to my physio, I just prayed that somehow I would have all of my movement back and there'd be no more pain. But that didn't happen. God does sometimes heal instantaneously, like he did with the man at the pool. But sometimes he uses human timescales, and he works through doctors and nurses and physios. And we can still choose to be hopeful and trust in God throughout the waiting. And in the hopefully waiting, we can be sure that God is teaching us some pretty cool things. And he wants to draw close to us as we journey through it. And most importantly, I think, he wants us to tell the world of what he has done for us and his goodness and faithfulness to us. So I just want to end with us praying for each other, if that's okay. Praying that we would be a people who are filled with hope. And if you'd like to be really brave, and there's no pressure to do this if you don't want to, but perhaps you could share and pray about any areas of hopelessness or unbelief in your life. So perhaps we would turn to the people around us, twos, threes, fours, fives, whatever, just for the next 5 minutes or so. And then James and the band will come up and we'll finish. Is that okay? Is that okay?